InDigital is on a mission to improve the 911 industry. Our goal is to create something better to go above and beyond the current standards. Our passion for creating the most advanced, well-designed solutions led to our position as an industry leader in next-gen core services. For the millions of calls processed over our emergency IP networks, to our Text for 911 solution, Texty, to our disaster recovery and backup solution, Mevo, it's easy to see we love what we do. For more information, check us out at www.indigital.net.
Rapid Deploy believes that every public safety agency, regardless of size, should have access to the data they need when it matters most. That's why, since 2016, our mission has been to reduce emergency response times and improve public safety. We are the industry's only integrated emergency response platform. Our web-based cloud platform includes analytics, mapping, dispatch, and mobile apps, purpose-built for 911 in the 21st century. Visit www.rapiddeploy.com to learn how we enable effective, efficient, data-driven emergency response.
If Within the Trenches has ever taught you something, opened your eyes to what it is like to be a 911 dispatcher, or has inspired you to become one, then help support us and join our Patreon. Get exclusive bonus content, one-of-a-kind swag, discounts on merchandise, ad-free early access to new episodes, and much more. To join, please visit patreon.com/WTTpodcast. And if you're an industry partner, we have something for you as well. And now, for the show.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 348 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. This episode is sponsored by Rapid Deploy, as well as InDigital. And this is a continuation of the previous episode. In 347, we did Imagine Listening. And as you may or may not know, the continuation of that is Open Mic, where we visit the lighter side of dispatch and share the funny that can be 911. This is also part of Response 2020, a session that I did for that event that Rapid Deploy had put on. And again, I was honored to be able to had the opportunity to do Imagine Listening for their audience. The stories were phenomenal in the sense that they were funny stories. Like I said, that's what Open Mic is about. And it was awesome to have all of you there, those in the audience and those sharing the stories. So without further ado, here is episode 348. And this is Open Mic that was done for Response 2020. Enjoy.
Dispatch.
There is no one over here to cook our lunch. We are waiting for our lunch, and there's no one here to cook our lunch.
All right, calm down. Where are you at?
The group home. Now, what are you going to do?
We'll get some help over there for you, okay?
Welcome to Open Mic, where we visit the lighter side of dispatch, because laughing is good medicine. Welcome, everyone. And this is now, again, like I said, this is the second half. This is the last half here of Imagine Listening, and this is Open Mic Live. And we're here at Response 2020. We just finished off Imagine Listening, where we're sharing the hard stories, but now we're going to visit the lighter side of dispatch. Because just like the tagline says, because laughing is good medicine. And we're going to talk about some of these funnier stories that you hear about that, you know, are usually on the radio or late night television, stuff like that, stuff that you don't usually hear about. And I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It happens in 911. There's plenty that happens. So we're going to get started with our first story, please.
Hey, Ricardo.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome.
Good. Thanks. So I work for a small agency, and it's not downtown or urban, but it's also not rural. So I guess it's a true case of suburbia. I have two stories to tell if I can get through the first one. Stop. Okay. So I took a call. I prefer night shifts. That's where I like to hang out. So everything makes sense on night shifts. Mm-hmm. So I take a call from a lady and she's pretty frantic. And I'm like, 911, what's your emergency? And she says, I need animal control. And I look at the clock on the wall, the clock we all have with the numbers. And it's like 1:30 in the morning. I said, okay, well, why do you need animal control? And she does this heavy sigh, like I'm a complete dingbat, and says, because there's a possum in my house. I said, well, okay, why is there a possum in your house? And she says, well, I adopted her. Wait, what? You adopted her? Because now I need to know. Why did you adopt the possum? She says, well, a couple of weeks ago, I was in my yard and I was doing yard work, and this pitiful thing comes out from under my bushes and it's so ugly that I had to take it in. And I said, but it's a possum. And she says, I know, but it was pitiful and I wanted it as a pet. So I kept it. I said, okay, well then why are you calling animal control now? Because it's like a vampire. You invited it in your home. It lives there. And she goes, well, it's pregnant.
What?
Right. Wait a minute. What? It's pregnant. You didn't notice that it was pregnant when you adopted her 3 weeks ago from your backyard? Well, no, I wouldn't have adopted a pregnant possum, you dingbat. And I'm like, okay, ma'am. She's like, just give me animal control. I still need to understand why there's a pregnant possum in your house. By the way, while I was on this call, I looked up how many babies a possum has. It has 20, anywhere from 10 to 20 at a time. And she's a pregnant possum in her house. So I transfer her over to county because she obviously needs animal control, but I'm still trying to understand who adopts a possum that wasn't sick. It was just pitiful and ugly, lets it into its home, and then no longer wants it when you find out that they're in the family way, because you adopted her. That means you took her as she was. And obviously she was in the family way when you adopted her.
Right.
But I want to understand who adopts a possum. But anyway, I didn't get the resolution to that question. But a couple of weeks later, minding my own business, it's about 3:30 in the morning, and a guy calls, and there's a scuffle, and there's a dog barking. And I'm like, oh, this is one of those calls. So I'm like completely ready. You know how the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and you think this is going to be like a domestic or something crazy?
Right.
And he's screaming. And I'm like, sir, what's your emergency? How can I help you? And he goes, I need animal control. I look at the clock again. I'm like, dang, it's 3:30 in the morning. Why do you need animal control? I said, well, sir, why do you need animal control? He says, there's a possum in my house. Why is there a possum in your house, sir? Well, I left my window open I left my sliding door open because it was breezy outside and I wanted to enjoy the breeze. And I went to sleep. And now the possum is fighting my dog for the dog bed. There you have it.
Oh.
2-3 weeks apart, two different marsupial stories. I don't understand. We live in suburbia. Maybe they just, I don't know, but there it was.
Did you happen to see how far they lived, like the callers lived from each other? Maybe it was the same one. Trying to get some food for its kids.
Ricardo, I did not check, but the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, they were probably 3 streets over from each other, more than likely, because my city is that small. So more than likely, they probably were either in the same neighborhood or their neighborhoods backed up to each other. But I still don't understand how something so unattractive as a possum, you want to adopt it and take it home or let it into your house and then get mad when it's in the family way.
Oh man, thank you so much for sharing the stories. I appreciate it.
Bye, y'all.
Oh man, that was superb. I can say that, yeah, I've definitely taken calls where there's some interesting ones that have, yeah, that they have to do with animals and such, and those are funny. Those are good ones that end up coming in because, yeah, you think to yourself for a moment, is this real life? like, are we in the same phone call right now? Is this really happening? For those who are in attendance, the same way with the I Am 911 stories for open mic. If you have an open mic story that you would like to share, please use the QA section to submit those as well. And I'll be able to read them.
Hi, everyone. I'm a paramedic in both the US and South Africa. Mm-hmm. And my funny story comes from way back in the early 90s in South Africa, which was also the time the country was finishing its transition to democracy. It was a very busy time for EMS. During that period, there were many political and communal conflicts. It was a dangerous place, especially late at night. It was also a time where digital communications weren't really a thing. There were no cell phones, no GPS tracking, and the only way to communicate while on shift was really through radios and radio pagers, and those were the good old-fashioned analog radios. My story begins late one evening, right after my crew and myself had just finished a call inside the township of Alexandra. We had no radio reception from the clinic where we dropped off our patient, so we decided to drive to the top of the hill to get better communications. As we reached the top of the hill, we made a radio call. Mic 1, Alpha 10. To which we got the response from the station, Alpha 10, send for Mic 1. Suddenly, snap, crackle, pop, fizz, as the electrics in the vehicle literally exploded. Sparks flew, the engine died, the lights went out, and the radio stopped working. There we sat in the dark in a haze of smoke and the smell of burnt plastic, in the dodgiest part of town, pondering our fate. Fortunately, we were quite mechanically inclined. We fiddled with some of the wires, disconnected a few things to push start the vehicle, and crawled back to the station with only one headlight on. It only took 10 minutes, but it felt like an hour. When we got back to the station, to our surprise, there were no other vehicles at the station. Everyone had gone out. All the ambulances, the response car, the fire engines, everyone. My crew and I were, oh man, we've missed the big one. But hey, what are you going to do? Parked our vehicle and made our way up to the control room where we were greeted with big eyes and a booming voice. What the? Where were you? What happened? So quite shocked, we quickly explained ourselves and what happened. And the dispatchers frantically started to recall all the other vehicles. Our dispatcher rewound the tape that recorded our radio communications. And yes, you heard me correctly. Tape was still being used to record things back then. What happened is that when the radio shorted out, the electrical surge sent a sound across the radio that sounded like we were screaming and being attacked. And then there was a deathly silence.
Oh,
with
no
other way to communicate with us, a code 999 alert was initiated, which in this case was an all-hands request to come and search for us. And it wasn't just the fire department vehicles. The police and traffic department had also been notified. Anyhow, all's well that ends well, and everyone returned safely to the station. My crew and I had to buy a lot of beers at the station pub the following Friday. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my funny story. Thank you.
Thank you. That was good. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Holy moly. That, yeah, that is definitely a good one right there. I can just imagine, you know, like you're saying, all of that goes, it happens, and then you don't find anybody there, but because what you later learned that they were all looking for you. Oh man, that is pretty crazy. Thank you so much for for sharing that story. Let's see, we've got one that popped in here, and it says, so back early in my career as an officer, we encountered a young man who was extremely high on PCP. He destroyed a Honda Accord and picked up a full garbage can and threw it at myself and another officer. What? Again, stuff that you can't make up, because this stuff happens. This is the the lighter side of dispatch here.
Okay, so back in earlier in my career in 98, There was a tropical depression that was coming up the coast, and I'm James from South Jersey. So I answered the 911 call, 911, where's your emergency? And the woman on the other side of the phone says, I've got crabs. So I says, you need an ambulance? Not those kind. I have crabs and my furniture is floating in my room. I'm like, ma'am, you need to seek higher ground. She said, no shit, asshole. So I then proceeded to tell her that there is a deuce and a half, which is a large military vehicle, up the street to go there. And they took her to a shelter.
Oh, I thought you were speaking like metaphorically or something, like, I don't know, like a deuce. Like, I thought you were. Oh, that story. So I've heard that one a couple times. For those of you who are joining that have never been on an open mic before, some of these stories, it takes one story for them to go down. Thank you so much, James, for sharing that. That when I heard you tell that the first time at one of the national conferences that we were at, I remember listening and just the look on your face as you're playing the caller saying, I don't need an ambulance. everyone was laughing so hard. I'm sure in the room, we probably all had like six pack abs by that time because we were laughing so hard. Well, you got to unmute. There you go.
All right. Sorry. Technology and I are not friends. we're really not. I kill computers, just my natural presence, which is not good for our line of work. So I live in Eastern North Carolina, and 2 years ago we had the lovely experience of Hurricane Florence. And for those of you that may have missed that one, that was the one that pretty much killed most of Eastern North Carolina. And we had historic flooding, catastrophic, everything you could think of, and it was terrible. So the storm blew in on a Thursday, and we were just working like a bunch of crazy people for 21 days. Well, nobody really slept the first couple of days. So Saturday rolls around, everything's still crazy, but it's calmed down. We're not having to do water rescues or cutting people out of houses or things like that anymore. And so Saturday night was really the first night that any of us could actually sleep. So our police station basically looked like a refugee camp, by the way, because there were air mattresses in every conceivable spot, including the copy room. And there was wet clothes, dirty laundry, everybody's stuff, food, all of it, all over the place. So Saturday night, go to bed. First night I'd slept in probably 3-4 days. And I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to this absolutely hideous sound. Now, side note, everybody has that irrational fear at work. Mine is the building catching on fire and me not being able to get out. Like, and it's not anywhere else. Like, I don't have a fear of dying in a fire in my house. It's only at work. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. After the hurricane, I wake up to the fire alarm going off in the police station. And all I hear is somebody standing out in the hallway screaming, there's a fire! So I go into full panic mode and I look up and I'm like, crap, I'm too short and the window's too far away or too high up, because I really would have thrown a chair through the window and crawled out. So I go running out and the alarm is going off and I can smell burning, but I can't quite tell where it's coming from. So now I am running around the station, but remember, this woke me up out of a dead sleep. So I'm in like booty shorts and a tank top because refugee camp of the police department equals the air conditioner is not working super well. So it was probably about 78 degrees out and I got, you know, I'm in my jammies barefoot, running around the police station at 2 o'clock in the morning, doing the sniff test, going through, can't figure it out. So I'm like, you know what? Let me go over to the fire station because the fire bay connects the police department and the fire station. And I walk out into the fire bay and all the doors are open. And now I can really smell smoke. And I look over and I see the glow of the fire about three blocks away from the police department. What had happened was somebody's house was fully engulfed, and the ventilation system for our building is tied into the fire bay. And because they left all the doors open, it set our fire alarm off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it took probably about 3 or 4 minutes to figure that out. And I couldn't go back to sleep because my worst irrational fear ever almost came true.
Thank you for, and you and I were at the, during that hurricane at a conference. And yes, I remember a lot of you left early.
Yep.
Because you got called back, and I even flew out a day early because everyone that was part of the committee kept telling me, you're going to be stuck here. And I said, well, if that happens, I'll just go and help one of the centers. I'll jump on the phone. It'll be all right.
Yeah. No, because we were at the North Carolina APCO conference at the out in Cherokee, which for those of you that are not from North Carolina, it's a big casino that's out. It's almost in Tennessee in the mountains. And my friend and I, she was running another 911 center here locally at the time, had traveled out. And we went to Walmart in Cherokee because we're like, we're 7 hours away from home. We shouldn't have any issues. So we're getting all our groceries and all our hurricane supplies. And the girls at Walmart thought we were crazy because they were like, you guys are getting some really weird stuff. Oh, yeah, we got to go back to the coast for the hurricane. And they're like, why?
As if you were going for a party or something.
Yeah, because we're dumb. That's why.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for sharing that story. I do want to read one here really quick. There's actually more to the story that I read earlier that I didn't see because I didn't know that there was a portion on here that you could click on to go. There was an ellipsis on it. I should have figured if I clicked on it, there was more to it. So let's start this one again. So it says, back early in my career as an officer, we encountered a young man who was extremely high in PCP. He destroyed a Honda Accord and picked up a full garbage can and threw it at myself and another officer. This is where it continues. We managed to get him under arrest, but he had no ID on him. He screamed and shouted, claiming he was Jesus Christ. In addition, he swore he was bulletproof. All of this content went into the charging documents. We literally had to charge Jesus Christ with several felonies. Thank you so much for submitting that and for the person who's moderating, who told me that I could see the rest of that, that there was more to it. I think it worked out just fine.
What is up? So I don't know. I feel like it's something that's common that like people will call 911 or they'll call the police department if they end up handcuffed to something they shouldn't be. Like, does that, you know?
Yeah.
Like I feel like I've heard that story before.
Right.
So anyway. So we get this call. This guy's really dodgy. He's like, I need an officer to come over to my apartment. Okay, why? I just need an officer to come over here. Nope, I got to know what's going on first. So I finally pull out of him that he's an off-duty security guard and that he and his girlfriend are handcuffed together and he can't find the key. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to send an officer over to that one. So I build the call. My partner sends a unit. He's there for, you know, a few minutes and he clears the call. So I send him a message. Come to dispatch now. So he comes in and he goes, yeah, when I got there, they were actually waiting outside the apartment. And they were as dressed as two people could be that were handcuffed together. Because, you know, you can't like... If your arm, you can't put your shirt on, right? So He's like, they were as dressed as they could be. And he goes, but the weird part was that it was his hand was handcuffed to her ankle. And that's how I found them. I don't know how they walked outside, but apparently they made it out there. So he very graciously gave them a key, unlocked them, and left quickly.
Wow. I mean, you can all use your imagination on that one. That's pretty crazy, man.
It was good.
Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. See ya.
So we have another one here that was sent in that I'll go ahead and read really quick as we're getting to the wrap up of this session, which has been a lot of fun. A lot of stories shared, whether it be I'm 911 stories in the beginning, those powerful stories, and then of course the lighter side here for open mic. But it comes in and says, since this is an open mic live, getting that call from a responder to tell whoever is talking about hot flashes that they have an open mic. As I frantically check my headset to clear the open mic. Oh my geez. Thank you for submitting that. That is excellent right there. Oh man. So we're going into the wrap up of this. And I think there was one last story. We had someone who had a second story here.
So this one is when I used to work EMS. We got called out in the middle of the night for abdominal pain. And now mind you, we are in a big red ambulance with flashy lights that has the name of our city across all of the sides and it says fire and rescue underneath. We are in uniforms with shirts in big letters that has the name of our city and fire and EMS, right? So we get out to this residence and one of the people inside comes out, looks us all dead in the face and says, y'all hear from the rescue squad? And without missing a beat, my partner looked at him and said, nah, bro, we picked this up at Walmart and decided we were going to come check and see what y'all were up to tonight.
Oh, nice. You know, that's like, I can't remember his name, but that's like the here's your sign jokes, you know? thank you so much for coming back on and sharing that story. We have got just a few minutes left here. So if there is anyone else in the audience who is viewing who wants to submit a quick story here, we can go ahead and do so. Otherwise, we are simply going to go ahead and wrap up this session. This has been excellent. Thank you all for joining us for Response 2020 for Within the Trenches Presents Imagine Listening and Open Mic. Any of the episodes that are from Within the Trenches podcast can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and any podcasting app really, as well as withinthetrenches.net. But it was a pleasure to be here with all of you to share these stories. Again, these powerful stories that need to be out there. They need to be shared. And we continue to share them as a way to raise awareness to what 911 dispatchers deal with on a daily basis, as well as call takers and such. And, you know, they're the most vital piece of public safety. Thank you all for what you do, for the support, and appreciate it more than you know. Thank you so much. And we're going to go ahead and close that out here. Thank you. So that was episode 348. That was open mic. And again, thank you to all of you for sharing those stories. 911 isn't all bad. There are some funny things that happen. And as you heard, funny things do happen. So again, thank you so much to everyone who was involved, to the audience, of course, to those who shared stories for open mic, as well as Imagine Listening, that was in episode 347. And of course, to Rapid Deploy for giving me the opportunity once again to do Imagine Listening for their event, Response 2020. This episode has been sponsored by Rapid Deploy as well as In Digital. If you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, that is @911podcast, and you can like us on Facebook, that is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net, and the video portion of this on Facebook and YouTube. Have a good one, everyone, and I'll see you in the next one.